Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We welcome in Charlie on this wonderful, beautiful Friday morning. Hi, Charlie. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're great. We're just knocking all this around, and we were talking about it in the last hour. You're somebody that knows about stuff like this. So you're better to talk about it. Is the function of the offense with Matt Canada, is it in place in the quarterback position, isn't doing the things that it's supposed to do, or maybe the offensive line isn't as well? Or is the skeleton of the offense there and it's set up and the players just aren't doing what's supposed to happen? Or is the offense just not working? It's not set up to function well?
Well, right now, I mean, it's a combination of everything that you just mentioned. And right, to me, the offense isn't functioning the way it's supposed to, only because maybe you don't have the right personnel in there to run the offense that Matt Canada wants to run. So it gets frustrating watching it, and the inability by Ben Roethlisberger to audibilize at the line of scrimmage, that's glaring to me. So you see a little bit of butting of the heads happening right now.
What other personnel, what personnel could be changed, Charlie, to get them in a better position to succeed in Matt Canada's offense?
Well, I think for starters, when you run that jet motion in the middle of the field and you're running it with Juju Smith-Schuster, he's not getting it on a reverse. You haven't handed the ball off to him on a consistent basis. So why would teams even respect that particular motion? So when you do it, the defense says, oh, that's just a fluff. Nothing's going on with there. And then they play their defense honestly. So the shift motion is not confusing the defense at all right now.
Charlie, what about the apparent disconnect when it comes from a hurry up, 2 minute, whatever you want to call it, the no huddle offense that Ben sounds like he wants to run with a whole bunch of plays at his disposal, and Canada apparently says he's got what he needs?
Yeah, and that's tough. And obviously being around and playing 15 years, and I've had multiple coordinators, when you're running a no-huddle offense, you're in the mind of the offensive coordinator. So starting on Monday and Tuesday of the work week, you're thinking about why he's putting personnel groups together, why he's calling these particular plays, and you already have in your mind his thought process. So when you get to the game, now you're essentially running all the plays at his disposal. It's just a matter of who gets credit for calling the plays. And so it's not like Ben is just drawing things up in the dirt out there in the middle of the field. You don't have time to do that. So these are things that's happening. And then when you add the element of success happening on the national broadcast, when the offense is going, guess who's getting the credit? Oh, Ben's calling the plays in the no huddle. But when you're the coordinator, you want that credit as well. And that's sometimes they kind of handcuff the quarterbacks because they want to say, hey, when the offense is going, it's because directly of the calls that I'm making.
Fan Hotline presented by Nemecolon. Around every corner, Nemecolon creates real-life magic for guests. Okay, tell me this. Say there's some guys sitting at a bar stool down at Duke's, right, and they're watching the football game. And they're watching, and they're going, why can't they run tempo or quick all the time? You hear that from fans all the time. Well, if it's working, run tempo or run quick or run no huddle all the time. Tell me from a quarterback standpoint why or why not you can or can't do that.
Well, tempo, typically, if you're stagnant on offense, you want to change your pace. So, yeah, that's why you kind of dictate the hurry-up offenses. But, if depending on the offense that you're in, that can require, if you like Peyton Manning, he loved to run a no huddle, and he did that consistently. That just hasn't been the offense here. Not to say that Ben can't do it. That's just what we don't do here. So I think when you do that and slow the tempo down a little bit, sometimes it's trying to give your defense a break. And right now, the amount of time that our defense has been on the field on those drives, they get tired out throughout the rest of the game. So sometimes you just need to slow it down versus no huddle, up tempo, and then scoring quickly, and then your defense is back on the field.
Charlie Batch with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Charlie, how do they start to fix this issue? And it's kind of fallen by the wayside in our discussions this week, but it still remains an issue with the middle of the field, more than 10, 15, 20 yards downfield. It looks like Ben doesn't – does he not have anything available there, or is he just not making those throws for whatever reason?
Yeah, they're calling the plays down the field. It's just a combination of whether he has time to throw the football down the field, and then there's time he doesn't have time to throw the football down the field. It's just not ebb and flow happening on a consistent basis to allow the attempts in the middle of the field happening. I've seen the charts. It's noticeable when you're watching the game about the lack of attempts that are happening in the middle of the field, and it's just unfortunate. Right now, I don't know how you fix it, because here we are at the four-week mark, and you would like to think, okay, now we at least have some type of identity on the offensive side. Right now, we have absolutely none.
You know, Charlie, I know, you know, the standard's the standard, next man up and all that stuff, but when it comes, and kind of getting back to the no-huddle hurry up a little bit here, how much does, when certain personnel are not available, for example, Deontay Johnson's not available, and, you know, this week, Claypool and Juju were both limited at practice yesterday if they're not available, how much does that hinder the ability to run that hurry up and no-huddle?
It hinders a lot, because you just look at it from a defense perspective. When you look up and say, okay, our projected starting receiver core could be James Washington, Ray McCloud, and we're unsure whoever that other guy is. And if he is, he's probably injured at this point. So there's no threat from that perspective. So, yeah, defenses aren't going to play you honest, because they're saying, okay, we're going to take the run away from you and force those other two guys to beat you. So Chase Claypool, he was limited this week. It looks like Deontay Johnson could come back. That can help in that manner. But if you have a banged up Juju Smith-Schuster with ribs, guess where he's not running? Across the middle, because the linebackers are going to beeline for those ribs to make sure that he doesn't stay in the game, or at least he's going to be sore, a lot more sore as the game goes on. So it's just going to be interesting to see how it unfolds. But either way, they have to deal with crowd noise. And when they're dealing with crowd noise on the road, you're a split second behind getting off the snap count. So it puts even added more pressure on that offensive line to keep Ben Roethlisberger upright.
Charlie Batch with us, brought to you by the Parks Sportsbook app. It's got a great offer. Go check it out. Use promo code THEFAN. I'm glad you brought up that crowd noise, because that's exactly where I wanted to go with it next. Once you reach the pinnacle, which is the NFL, you think, well, we've seen it all. You can't really affect me all that much. I've seen a lot of different things. When you went out on Lambeau for the first time, and when you go there, is it a different place than other places, from the mystique, from the crowd, from all of that? Explain Lambeau for me.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, mystique is there. And, you know, at the time I was in Detroit, so my very first game, we opened up in Green Bay in 1998. So when you look at that and you hear it, and all of a sudden you hear people talking about the myth and what's going on at Lambeau Field, and you get out there, you're like, wow, this is history in the making right here. This is kind of where it all kind of started with Vince Lombardi. So you kind of get past that after pregame, but then ultimately, you know, you kind of have to get the game moving. But it's just the buildup leading up to it, and especially when you're riding into that, going to the stadium, there's no easy way to get in there. It's not like you're coming off 279 or 65 coming into the parkway going into Heinz Field. No, you're going into a single-lane highway that you're leaf beelining into Lambeau Field with people sitting outside on their lawns talking about, please park on my lawn for $50. So you see all of that, and it just, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, this is kind of the mystique of what's happening. So it definitely lives up to the hype, and I can understand why a lot of Pittsburgh fans want to go up to Lambeau Field, because we don't play up there often.
Well, as we talk about mystique and legend and reputation, though, how much of that do you think still exists when teams go up against Ben Roethlisberger? You know, Matt LaFleur had some things to say like that earlier this week, where he said, hey, it's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. It's in there somewhere. We know what he's capable of, and he's done it for a long time, so we have to be ready for it. Do those guys walk out on the field, the Packers defense on Sunday, and say, hey, that's Ben Roethlisberger. We better be ready for whatever he has? Or have they seen Ben come back down to earth over the last 8, 9, 10 games, and do they look at him like anybody else?
Well, I think, you know, you look at it in both perspectives, because you look at it and say, yeah, 8-9 games, yeah, maybe he's not the Ben Roethlisberger of old. But when you look at just the ages of these players, they grew up watching Ben. And some of them probably remember the Super Bowl 45 victory with Aaron Rodgers over Ben Roethlisberger. So these type of things, these stories happen. But that credit to longevity of being around in this league to allow players to come up and say, man, you were one of my favorites growing up. So trust me, these players, they definitely, you know, maybe not all of them, but you do have quite a few on it that probably are Steeler fans. We'll see. We'll privately go up to Ben Roethlisberger and shake his hand because he was an idol of theirs.
You know, Charlie, we were joking about this earlier because, you know, we hear Mike Tomlin on Tuesday and all the coaches where everybody on the other team is a Hall of Famer when they do their weekly press conferences and talk about how great the other team is. Okay, but when they get into meetings with players, how does that change? And when they show you a scout on the opposition, do they show you just the absolute best stuff that the other team does, or do they show you some of the bad stuff that you can take advantage of? How does that work?
Well, in a team meeting, you know, Coach Tomlin or even Bill Cowher, he would highlight a lot of the good things that they do. And you're like, wow, you walk out of that team meeting, you're like, wow, these guys really are unstoppable. And then when you get down into your job or your position coaches to kind of break it down, especially starting with the coordinator, he'll say, hey, you know, I understand this, but look, this is the weak link of the defense. We're going to attack this. This is maybe that he's a weakest defensive lineman or a linebacker, backer. And then you say, okay, in the passing game, we're going to go out this particular corner. And if we can get the matchup we want, especially from the nickel position, that's the guy who will attack. So you start breaking those things down. But is the, you know, when you're in it, you understand the high-level overview that Mike Tomlin will give, but then also breaking it down, trying to figure out what you can take advantage of as the game goes on.
We're on Twitter. Follow us there, 937TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. I don't know how much you saw of last night, but Joe Burrow gets another win. And last week, I thought he made a really good read when he caught Pierre kind of out on an island right before the half and made that throw. What have you seen in Burrow in his short time that he's been healthy as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's been solid even at the beginning of his rookie year before he got injured. So, you know, a lot of people expected him to be this way. Coming into this year, I was just more concerned mentally on how he would get back and respond to that knee injury, because it's not easy. Everybody talks about, oh, the first hit. Well, as a quarterback, you don't want to get hit. So it's just a matter of making sure that he can go out there and step into his throws. And the more I watch him, he's getting more comfortable because he does not have happy feet as people are around him. So that lets me know he's not as concerned with his knee anymore.
Let me come back around to the Steelers for just a second. In that vein, Charlie, quarterbacks don't like to get – nobody likes to get hit, like you said. But quarterbacks, especially 39-year-old quarterbacks, don't like to get hit. We were talking about that fourth and 10 play from the 11-yard line again earlier. And Ben almost immediately dumps it off to Najee. And then a split second later, Najee's enveloped by tacklers, and there's four receivers standing in the end zone. What did you see on that play? And do you think Ben is tired of getting hit already this year?
Oh, he's absolutely tired of getting hit, because I don't think he got hit all 25 times the entire season last year. But here he is right now, hit 25 times in three games. He's on pace for 153 hits. There's no way he's going to survive this season, especially when you add an extra regular season game. So that is one thing. The second point is, yeah, look, to me, maybe he didn't want to get hit as he released the football. But to me, watching that play, and I've been around Ben Roethlisberger, and I've watched every throw that he's made over his 18-year career, he doesn't have the ability to audibilize at the line of scrimmage, because there's no way that he looks back and says, I'm going to throw the swing route because that gives me the best option on this particular play. I believe he stepped up to the line of scrimmage. He has Chase Claypool to the left. He's man-to-man. He could not get off the jam. He has Ray Ravencloud in the slot. He has James Washington on the right, and both of those defenders are about 4 to 5 yards off. I just don't believe that he thought that those receivers would win in that manner. Okay, I'll give Najee an opportunity with the swing route. Gave it to him. Obviously, it didn't happen. A lot of people will say, yeah, receivers were breaking open. That was only because Ben Roethlisberger released the ball already on why the other two receivers could have potentially been open. So that there is a concern that way, and just look at the reasons after the game. Ben Roethlisberger says that was designed to play because we had a picket fence going on. On Thursday, Matt Canada says we did have players in the end zone. Either way, not at the time of the ball were being released. There was no receivers in the end zone, wide open in the manner that Matt Canada displayed. So that right there concerns me. So they have to correct that. Communication starts with those two. Hopefully they can get it corrected, because there's absolutely no way they can put on a performance like they did against the Bengals up there in the Packers.
All right, most important and last thing before we let you go, did you get those miles in with those big boys yet? It's a beautiful day out there, Charlie.
I did already. We did about 4 already this morning. Got up there early, and right now they're about 30 miles in this week. So I know my Rottweiler, she's kind of dying down, so I may have to leave her in the house at this point and take my Bocheron Cairo with me.
Right. What are you going to do when the winter comes and you get all the salt on the road and stuff?
You're putting those Najee Harris miles on India. Relax.
Absolutely. So, but no, actually, in the wintertime, I actually have the heat-resisting thermals underneath.
Look
so I wear
that.
Thermals underneath, and then I put cold care over top of it along with my gloves. So trust me, I've kind of mastered this thing.
Yeah,
especially
you have.
When we get down into it. Dipping under the 30. So I'm still out there walking. People look at me like I'm crazy, but they know it's me out there with my dogs.
My man. Charlie Batch. Charlie, we thank you. As always, we'll talk again next week.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Charlie.
So great.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.